Grace and peace be unto you from God, who is our Creator, and from Jesus Christ, who is our Savior and our friend. Amen. This week, I've been thinking about risk. Do you ever take risks? Well, I know one of you does not. There are all kinds of risks. Speaking for myself, I am also not a huge risk taker. I almost never take physical risks, like, you know, if you're swinging and it gets higher and higher, sometimes when it gets to that top point, a kid will just jump off the swing. Yeah, and that's not really me. And I would really not be the person who would be on the freeway kind of racing with somebody else. You know how you get into that competition? No, that's not me. On the other hand, I do have most of my investments, that makes it sound impressive, such as they are, you know, pensions, something for Elijah. I do have them in a higher risk category. Getting married felt like a risk. I was older. That was a risk. Becoming a parent is a risk, no matter what. So far, parenting for me hasn't felt risky so much as just simultaneously very hard and deeply rewarding. So I'm wondering, what are some of the risks that you've taken? And I'm going to read a few more of these. I took a risk when I moved the family here. So if the Bay Area is a risk, I'm curious, where did you come from? Like Fallujah, I don't know. Is this risky? Is it for financial reasons? That's interesting. Maybe it was just leaving home, right? The familiarity of home. I took a risk when I signed up for Dorita's choir. Well, thank you, whoever you are, for doing that, taking that risk. I took a risk when I came back a second time. Now, I don't know what that is too, right? What could that be? But good for you for going back a second time. I took a risk when I was, I took a risk when I was walking to run. That's very metaphorical. Like that could be that could be anything in your life. You were walking and then you took the risk and decided to run. That's great. When I took a risk when I left UC Berkeley after 2 years to go to Aspen, Colorado to discover what to do with my life. I'm sure most of you know who that is. I'm not sure who that is, but I hope you figured it out or you're on the way. I took a risk when I, learned how to drive. Yep. I risk my life every time I get on the freeway. I took a risk when I returned to my faith at peace. Not going to a Catholic church. Thank you for that. We have a lot of people who were Catholics, and you're never not Catholic. I mean, you know, it stays in you, but I will say this, you did not risk your soul. You're good here. We're just as good. I took a risk when I moved to a city in the Bay Area away from family and friends. Yeah, we've heard that one. Yes, okay, that's familiar. So these are some of the risks that you have taken. What about taking a risk on behalf of someone else or because it's just the right thing to do? That's when we, you know, start to sometimes get into some serious risk. I remember attending a demonstration once in my capacity as pastor. I went there as a pastor and, you know, in clerics. And this demonstration was hosted by a neighboring church. And then after that gathering, my council president, we're standing around talking, and she said that she had not felt safe at this demonstration, but that Pastor Diane had been so brave, not afraid at all. And I was surprised by this because I honestly did not think I had been in any danger at all. It was later I realized that Kay, council president, who is a trans person, has been the target of all kinds of hateful words and actions her whole adult life. And so for her to be there was a risk. It was very risky. It felt that way. A risk that she took on behalf of others to make a difference. Because of my privilege in the form of safety as a straight person as well as a white person, the possibility of personal danger hadn't even occurred to me. We usually refer to today's text as the temptation of Jesus, the temptation of Jesus by the devil, but I have to ask, was Jesus actually tempted? At least in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus' response to each offer made by the devil is a firm and unwavering no, with scriptural references to back it up. So maybe we should call this text the devil's attempt to tempt Jesus. And we can certainly read this text as a personal test of Jesus' faith and his willpower, which, if that's what it was, he passed it with flying colors. But are there other ways also that we could read the text? Why did he go into the wilderness? Reflecting on this text, Luther Seminary professor Cody Sanders said that when Jesus entered the wilderness, he entered, and this is his, these are his words, a place of precarity, and possibility. Precarity and possibility. The wilderness represented risk, a place where you could lose your life, and also the possibility of revelation, of an encounter with God. That's frequently why people go on wilderness retreats, right? They hope for an encounter with the divine. I think for the time we are in and the challenges we are facing right now, this is a good approach to this text. The wilderness is a place of precarity or of danger and also of possibility. The possibility, if we take the risk, of encountering God. For Jesus, the precariousness of his time in the wilderness, this risk was physical. I mean, it included hunger, thirst, wild animals, bad weather. He could have fallen and hurt himself and no one would be there to help him. It was also a place of spiritual danger or risk. The aforementioned devil or the tempter was there to cause Jesus trouble. Whether the tempter truly thought, I mean, did the tempter really think that Jesus would worship him in exchange for earthly glory and power? I don't know. I guess the devil was hoping. Yeah. But what I do know is that plenty of humans have gladly made this exchange, right? In exchange for earthly glory and power. But why did Jesus do it? Why did he go in the wilderness, take the risk, face the danger, if he was just going to say no to the tempter? I think it was for the possibility. It was for the revelation. Maybe Jesus wanted to learn what kind of stuff he was made of. But I would guess that he was hoping to meet God and that God would confirm who he, Jesus, was and also what God was calling him to do. Because what God was calling Jesus to do was no easy thing. I think Jesus wanted God to say, yes, you're mine, and here's what I want you to do. Ironically, it was in encountering the tempter that Jesus found the revelation. He learned that he was stronger than any temptation, and he learned that God was with him. After the devil left, angels came and waited on him, a divine manifestation of God's presence. When angels show up in the Bible, they are representing God. They are there for God. When Jesus left the wilderness, he began his public ministry, which ultimately led to the cross and to resurrection. The risk he took in the wilderness was for us. What kind of wilderness are we encountering now? What are the precarities and possibilities of the road that we travel? So I'm just going to finish these up. What are the risks? What are the precarities that we encounter? I took a risk when I climbed to the top of Half Dome last year, 2025, with my 21 and 23-year-old kids. Wow, good for you. And did you make it all the way? Yes. Oh, well, here. I took a risk when I got married. Yeah, I hear you. That's a risk. That's a risk. You do not know. I took a risk when I left my home country. Yeah, that is a big risk. That's family, cult. Was that you? Are you going to? Yeah, it's family, it's culture, it's language, right? Sometimes it's work experience. Yeah. The landscape. Yeah. I took a risk when I left something to start seminary. What? A profession. Okay, so now we know it's you. Yes, that was a risk. Left a profession to start seminary. I hear that one too. That is a risk. I took a risk when I, came to peace. But you're still here, so that's good. Yeah. We're not so scary. Here we go. Picking up on a theme, I took a risk when I left my husband. There we go. Sometimes that has to happen. I took a risk when I made a decision to speak up. Yeah, that's right, that's right. Good for you, whatever that was. I took a risk when I spoke in front of a crowd of people. Yeah, that's very scary for a lot of folks. Thank you for sharing those. Thank you for sharing those. When we resist evil, when we say no to evil, as Jesus did, well, there is always a risk, isn't there? That's where the risk especially is. As a congregation, peace is in a kind of wilderness, although I think that is probably too strong a word. But I couldn't think of a little bit of wilderness, a word for that. But certainly in this time of transition, you know, we are encountering some risk, right? Change always means risk. And I believe that there is every possibility for the encounter, not just the precarity, the risk, but the encounter, for discovering, as Jesus did, what we are made of, and what God has in mind for us. As we go into the annual meeting after the service today, I think that our lay leaders, our council members, and our deacons are especially aware, they're feeling it, the risks of this passage that we're in. The council is going to put before you a budget and ask you to approve it. And what is a budget exactly? It's a statement of faith. A budget is based on gifts that have not yet been given, right? I mean, it is a leap of faith. There's nothing in hand when we pass this budget. It's risky. But my goodness, this is how we get to the encounter. This is how we get to the divine. We make our best judgment about what income we can expect and how it should be spent. It's all just kind of a mission, a roadmap. And then we step into the future and we do the ministry. And if needed, we make adjustments. If needed, we pivot. Because you know what? We're grown-ups and we are able to do that. We can pivot. But it's in the doing. It's in the doing that we meet God. It's in the doing that the angels come. So let me share with you some extraordinary news of walking between precarity and possibility. In July of 2025, so 7 months ago, our synod, which is the Sierra Pacific Synod, joined 5 other synods in the ELCA and also several other religious organizations in filing an injunction. This is a lawsuit against the Department of Homeland Security to restrict ICE's entry into, quote, sensitive locations. This includes places of worship. On February 13th, 9 days ago, 2026, 7 months after the lawsuit was filed, a judge has issued a preliminary injunction blocking ICE from conducting enforcement operations at or around places of worship. Yeah. In doing this, the court upholds religious liberty and the freedom to worship without fear as guaranteed in the First Amendment. So all us congregations are going to get this sign from the synod, which we may post on our doors right out here, and it says, "Immigration enforcement restricted by court order. These premises are a protected area pursuant to federal court order in the New England Synod versus Department of Homeland Security case number blah, blah, blah." It's on there. Lutheran synods and other denominations, Quakers, American Baptist, Metropolitan Community Church, took the risk. They filed the lawsuit, and they achieved the possibility, the encounter. Our building, our church, is now a safe space from ICE. Friends, following the gospel is risky. Entering the wilderness is risky, no question. Standing up for others is risky. But in the risk, we discover what we're made of, and we discover that God is in the wilderness with us. It's when we take the risk that the angels come. Amen. We are going to sing.